Gary Saul Morson writes in the May 2021 issue of First Things, quote, "When Dostoevsky wrote his last and greatest novel, The Brothers Karamazov, the revolutionary movement that would lead to Bolshevism was well underway. In his novel, The Possessed, Dostoevsky had been the first to describe with astonishing accuracy what we have come to call totalitarianism. Now he undertook to vindicate its Christian alternative." Close quote. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, and you're listening to The After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. In his 1880 novel, The Brothers Karamazov, Fyodor Dostoevsky explores questions of good and evil, alienation and belonging, the existence of God, and the nature of morality. As scholar and author Ken Boa writes in his 4-volume, A Taste of the Classics, quote, "The Brothers Karamazov is a remarkable work that explores the whole range of behavior, from the depths of depravity to the heights of exaltation, and from the meanness of the human spirit to the greatest nobility of which it is capable." This semester, Wyoming Catholic College seniors have been reading The Brothers K, as they call it, under the capable tutelage of Professor Adam Cooper. I asked Professor Cooper what attracts him to the novel.
I think that something about dysfunctional or semi-functional, large, sprawling families that even from the time of Homer and the Olympians have a way of exemplifying, collecting all the different passions and aspirations, movements of the human soul in tension with each other. There's a way in which a big, big family drama like that helps us understand, imagine, and see, affirm finally the emerging order, moments, radiant order of what is going on with the human family in history. It's a cast of really colorful characters, all of whom shock you and surprise you. A little bit larger than life, but you can see yourself in all of them, and you just can't help loving them all. So,
now, if it's possible, given that it's a 900-page book, give us a summary of the novel. What goes on?
Yeah. Well, kind of aging, profligate father clinging to his life and his more and more twisted and self-seeking lusts. His 3 sons, who he's neglected throughout their whole life, for various reasons, come back to their father's house and the town where they grew up. Each of these sons has a reason to hate him or resent him. And Dmitri, the eldest, is in a quarrel with him, both over the inheritance that his father, by infuriatingly legal means, has seemed to have cheated him out of, and also has become his father's rival in love, because they're both head over heels for this beautiful, compromised woman, Grushenka. Ivan, who also resents his father, kind of represents a different response to the old man who likewise neglected him and abused his mother. He despises him, but tries to separate himself from him in his superior intellectual attitude. If Dmitri is kind of the new man in the sense of, like, very similar to his father and entering into conflict with him in natural ways over the material inheritance and over the beautiful woman, and sort of everything about him says, what would be just here, father, is if you make way for the young man, the new generation. Ivan represents the new man in the sense of kind of a modern man, someone who wants to be not the son of his wicked father and his abused and helpless mother, but to be a self-made man, to reconstruct the world according to a rationally and morally acceptable idea, holding on to which he can rise above and separate himself from the wickedness of his father and over against the unjust suffering that's in the world. And so the youngest son, Alyosha, is the only one of his brothers that doesn't despise or hate his father. And he, unlike Dmitri, who lives his large passions and is in danger maybe of becoming like his father, but is trying to rescue an image of beauty and nobility from the welter of his passions. And unlike Ivan, who wants to recreate himself out of a rational, moral idea by which he can set himself over and apart from his father, Alyosha's life seems to be lived out of a childhood memory of his mother. And he remembers the light slanting into an open window. And his mother, this unstable, broken, believing woman, whom his father mistreats in all sorts of ways, is holding out the baby, Alyosha, but she's weeping hysterically and knows that she can't take care of him in the way that a mother should be able to. And so she holds the infant up to the icon of Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos. And in this moment, which is, Dostoevsky says, is like a kind of spark of light in Alyosha's memory, or like a little bit of color torn off and saved from a faded tapestry. This memory that has entered Alyosha's soul from before he reached the age of reason. Traumatic memory, but also a memory of love and the deepest love his mother could offer him, recognizing her own helplessness and believing that somehow God could guide and protect and make something good out of his life. From this memory, Alyosha somehow, like his mother, accepts suffering, injustice, even wickedness around him with sorrow, but without judging, and is capable of meeting persons in the concrete and disfigured situations that they find themselves in, accepting what is broken and believing in the possibility that God can still do something with this soul. And so, for instance, he says to his father, "You're not evil, you're twisted." And the same sort of attitude that he grows more and more deeply into in the course of the novel enables him to be with his brothers as they pursue their tortured courses through life, trying to find truth and find their souls in danger of losing them. The major event of the novel is the death, the murder of Fyodor, whom all of the brothers have a plausible motive for doing off with, but none of them actually do. In fact, all of them are, to a greater or lesser degree, implicated in their father's murder.
Well, and Dmitri is accused.
Yeah.
Right. He's tried for it.
Yeah. In fact, on the night of Fyodor's murder, Dmitri, in need of money to run off with the woman he loves, angry and jealous at his father for withholding his portion of the inheritance and pursuing the woman he loves, actually goes to the house armed and sees his father's ugly, distorted features through the window, and is at the very point of killing him, but for some reason, his angel was watching over him. He doesn't. Though running out, he strikes a servant who cared for him when he was a child and almost kills him.
It's seniors who read Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah.
Significantly not freshmen. Is it somehow a culmination of what they do here? Does it require the kind of intellectual maturity they've grown into in order to understand the book? And what do they take away from it?
I think in many ways it is a culmination of the Wyoming Catholic education. And I think of that in many ways in terms of the youngest son, Alyosha, who is entirely taken up with, in love with, adores the figure of Zosima, in whom he sees a man who credibly and effectively lives the gospel truth.
He's a monk.
He's a monk. Father Zosima lives the gospel truth and is capable of seeing all kinds of persons in the problematic situations that they're in and loving them, speaking a word that is personally for them, that points to the hoped-for goal, recognizes what is unfinished in their lives and gives them concrete steps forward. Peasant women who are suffering or have lost their children or who have committed great crimes even come from miles around because he can speak a word of hope that meets their souls. Alyosha sees in him what he believes is the secret for the salvation of his people and even for the salvation of the world. And he also sees in following him a way out from the darkness and difficulty of life that he's been, as a son of his father and mother, has been born into. Something transcendent in this man that captures his heart and his imagination. But Zosima tells him before he dies that he can't stay in the monastery and that he has to be with his brothers, be in the world, be a monk in the world, that there is no way out except through the complex, difficult, suffering, sinful lives of the people in which he is born, the family in which he is born. And so more and more the people of Alyosha's generation, his brothers who are seeking for truth and nobility, honestly, in the places where they can find it, won't go to the monastery, won't go to the church, won't go to the image of Christ as an Alyosha does, and as our students here at Wyoming Catholic are very inclined and ready to do. In order to complete the mission of Christ, in order to complete the mission of Zosima, Alyosha has to live in and with the lives of his wild, passionate, sensual brother, Dmitri, who has an intimation of the joy that life is supposed to be and who wants to find beauty among his conflicted loves. And he has to live with Ivan, who doesn't believe in God and who sees so much of the evil and suffering that is in the world and wants to find a moral, rational solution to the problems in which human beings are. These are the souls of Alyosha's generation, and these are the souls of our generation. These are the souls that we're asking our students to learn to be with, to understand imaginatively, sympathetically, and to find a word of consolation and companionship that will point them in the direction of the fullness of truth that we know and believe lives in their hearts.
In the novel, Father Zosima offers this bit of wisdom that, it seems to me, could have been written yesterday. Quote, "The world says, you have needs, satisfy them. You have as much right as the rich and the mighty. Don't hesitate to satisfy your needs. Indeed, expand your needs and demand more." Then he goes on, This is the worldly doctrine of today, and they believe that this is freedom. The result for the rich is isolation and suicide, for the poor, envy and murder. To consider freedom as directly dependent on the number of man's requirements and the extent of their immediate satisfaction shows a twisted understanding of human nature. For such an interpretation only breeds in men a multitude of senseless, stupid desires and habits, and endless, preposterous inventions. People are more and more moved by envy now, by the desire to satisfy their material greed, and by vanity. Close quote. That was written 140 years ago. To say the least, the brothers Karamazov offers a remarkable critique of 21st century life. Yes, it's a long, complex book, but it may also be one we dare not read today. Begin with Gary Saul Morson's The Greatest Christian Novel at the First Things website, firstthings.org, and then dig in to Dostoevsky's masterpiece. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.